everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines at 844-322-2742. We're talking about how to win at spiritual warfare today. We all encounter it. We're all in the midst of it at various times in our lives, and it's very difficult. It's hard. It's you know, we fall down a lot.
Yeah, warfare is the right word.
That's exactly right. And Paul describes it like that in Ephesians chapter 6 when he says that we're to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and we're to put on the whole armor of God. That's the image of a warrior. Of a soldier, and who is protecting himself against the onslaught of his enemy. And we certainly have an enemy in this world, an accuser, somebody that's constantly raising accusations against us, constantly trying to lure us away from our solid position in Christ Jesus. And we have to be aware of his schemes. First, we have to be aware that this enemy exists. This world system that is anti-God, anti-Jesus, is fully operating today, and that we're living right in the midst of it. We have to realize that there are philosophies that go against the truth of the Word of God that are built upon lies that are hollow and empty and deceptive. We have to be aware of that. And then once we're aware of that, then we have to know how those things are being brought against us each and every day. And that's where the Spirit of God is going to give us some discernment and enable us to see what's really happening and enable us to really stand firm in who we are in Christ and to be strong in the Lord. I mean, we can't win this battle through human effort. We can't win this battle on our own. We have to rely upon the Spirit of God, upon the power of God. And that's where this passage is telling us to take our stand, in the power of God. Our enemy has already been defeated. All he has is his tools, or really deception and lies and that sort of thing. And if we will stand in the power of God, we're going to be able to discern all that stuff that he brings at us and stand firm in the truth. We'll be able to use that shield of faith and just push away every fiery dart. But this is really a powerful passage, isn't it, Richard, that we really need to, as individual believers in Christ, to deeply understand it, and as a body of believers, as the church at large, we need to understand that this is coming against the church as well.
Yes. Greg Park and I were talking this morning about this. His comment was, you know, all you have to do is look around and realize that Satan has had hundreds and thousands of years to perfect his craft. There is no single one of us whose lifetime will be long enough to defeat him. So stop trying. Jesus is the only answer.
And he's
already defeated him. So why are we fighting a battle that isn't ours? And so when you see how Paul starts this, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. There's nothing here about being strong in myself and in the strength of my might. This is all Jesus. Every aspect of this, every piece of this armor is given to us by Jesus himself. And if we don't realize that, as individuals, we will fall prey. As the church, we will fall prey. And that's where the sadness is, because so many of us who are Christians, really are born-again children of God, get off in the weeds because we try to fight this battle on our own, and we will fail every time. But if we do what Paul is talking about here, there is victory every time, because it's Jesus' victory that he already won.
Right. And if you look at this passage, it says to withstand mm-hmm. to having withstood all of those onslaughts. We're still standing.
Yes.
Stand, therefore, fully clothed in this armor. So it's not like the Word of God is encouraging us to engage the enemy.
Correct.
To enter into this conflict. The Word of God is simply saying to be aware that there is an enemy and stand in the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Stand. And
yeah.
the enemy will not be able to knock you down. Why? Because this armor, the truth fastened around our waist, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness,
yeah.
the shield of faith, the Word of God is our sword. Those tools, that armor, that weapon is going to enable us to stand. We don't really have to do anything other than quote the Word of God.
Yeah.
I mean, when Satan tempted Jesus, what did he do? He quoted the Word of God to him. And what happened? Satan left. Satan fled.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he couldn't hold up to against the Word of God. So
yeah.
all this is telling us to do is to stand. And stand fully clothed in the armor of God. The truth. What truth? The truth that we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. The truth that is in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is alive, living in us. The truth that our sins have been forgiven. The truth that Jesus has taken our sins and in exchange has given us his righteousness. The truth that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The truth that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. This is the truth. And as we stand in that truth, then whatever the enemy brings to us, we're still going to be standing when he has emptied his arsenal. We'll
yeah.
still be standing, and that is great hope. And again, Richard, we talked about this yesterday. That's one of the very reasons that we created Basic Gospel University.
Yeah.
You know, we live today in an era of social media, so we're used to little dabs of information.
Mm-hmm.
We read tweets, we read short Facebook posts, we look at very short YouTube videos, and we never give ourselves time to dive deep into the Word of God.
Yeah.
Well, Basic Gospel University provides that opportunity for believers to take a deep dive into the Word of God on the issues that are most critical to them. We've looked, and there's 8 essential truths that every Christian needs to know. And we started with what we think is the most important as far as a believer's life in Christ is concerned. Until a person rests in the finality of the cross, understands that all of their sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, they will never grow in their relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the key that unlocks the grace of God in explosive ways. So yeah. if you've been stymied in your growth as a believer, if you've been struggling, you've experienced frustration, you are plagued with fear and guilt and shame and all of those things, more than likely, it's because you've never finalized the cross
yeah.
in your own heart. You've never come to grips with the fact that all of your sins have been forgiven. Well, this is an opportunity through this Basic Gospel University course entitled It Is Finished to really let those burdens be lifted and to go free in your relationship with Christ and come to the point where you know that you know that you know that nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. We launched the course yesterday. We had a number of people sign up. We received this great email early,
yes.
early
in the
wee
in the
hours, I think sometime after 4 o'clock in the morning. But this is from Mark, and he says, thank you both so much for all of the love and the effort that you put into these wonderful lessons. Once I started in on the lessons, I couldn't stop. It took me about 7 hours to go through it all and, of course, look up all the scriptures along the way. I really like to use my own Bible and reference it as I go through the lessons. So he goes on to say, I love your programs and get your messages. I've told many people about your ministry and even share your teachings at home Bible studies and small church from time to time. And it says, your ministry has been a tremendous help to me over the past several years, both personally and spiritually. And may God bless all of you at Basic Gospel and the amazing ministry that you were in. So here's a guy that did some binge watching of these these six lessons. And it is one of the most fascinating studies that you can ever engage in. And that's this study of what Christ actually accomplished in shedding his blood, offering his life as the once for all sacrifice for sin. The Bible tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This really unpacks that statement and shows exactly what that means. And like Mark, if you go to Basic Gospel and sign up for this, I think once you get into it, you will want to go through it as quickly as you possibly can, just because the information is that good. It's not that we're that good. It's just the truth that our sins have been forgiven is that amazing. It will just rock your world like never before. So we're excited about Basic Gospel University. We want you to be excited about it as well.
And I tell you, as nice as that letter was, and it's so encouraging, the best part of it was I look up every passage in my own Bible.
Right.
There's the power.
Absolutely. And that's when you really learn.
Yes.
That's when this message becomes yours. Oftentimes we hear pastors that are charismatic, that can really deliver a message and tell a story and motivate and inspire. And we like them and we're engaged with them. And as we listen, we begin to parrot them. But when life hits us, we're not sure that what they've taught us is going to be enough, because it's still their message that we're just parroting. It hasn't become ours.
It's their armor, not our armor.
That's right. And the only way that we can get fitted for our own armor is go into the Word of God and let the Spirit of God teach us these wonderful, wonderful truths that will enable us to stand in this world, this crazy, chaotic, confused world in which we live. Again, that's Basic Gospel University. The website is basicgospel.university. Yeah. Very simple. Go there and look around. We have a couple of videos there, introductory videos, and we would love for you to take a look at that and consider taking the course, signing up for the course. It is finished. I guarantee you, once you complete it, you will have confidence in your relationship with Christ like never before.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. We're so glad that you've tuned in as well. We've got some great calls that we're going to get to, some really, I think, practical, rubber meets the road subjects, but we would love to hear from you as well. 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Call right now if you have a question about how to win at spiritual warfare, some struggles that you may be engaged in right now, or some victories that you want to share. We would love to hear from you. Call right now, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, let's listen to some calls that came in overnight.
Yeah, this first one, listen carefully because it goes by in a hurry.
Is that okay to visit a church only to praise God without being a member of the church?
Well, the simple and short answer to that is yes.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely okay. And we have to recognize that once we become a Christian, once we receive the good news of Jesus Christ, once that gospel message takes a grip on us, then the Holy Spirit at that moment baptizes us or places us into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So at that point, we're members of the church, the church at large. Now, there are local manifestations of that church. Mm-hmm. There's There's the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church and the Independent Church and the Bible Church and all of these various denominations. And that's just groups of Christians choosing to gather together in a local area.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of those local churches have membership requirements, but that's simply to be a member of that church. And a lot of churches require you to be a member to have any outlet of service in that particular church. Well, the Bible really doesn't speak about those things. Those are just local assemblies making some decisions to manage and to govern that particular local assembly. But if you go to a church, you're a believer, you're already a member of the church, the body of Christ. So it's built into all of us to want to connect, want to be around other believers. And we do that by visiting churches oftentimes. And so, yes, go and praise God. Lift your voice high and rejoice in receiving the word that's being taught that day, and mingle with the people there. Talk to them. Get to know them and just be an encouragement to them. So, yes, you can go and praise the Lord without being a member.
Absolutely.
Let's go to our next one. This is Allison in Edmonton, Alberta.
Hi, Allison from Edmonton, Alberta, and really love your program. Try and listen to it every day. I just had a question about David. David always talked about how he hated the wicked and hated the bad people and all this kind of stuff. But how do you reconcile that with when Jesus said we were to love our enemies and, you know, pray for those that despitefully use us and all this stuff? How do you reconcile that? Okay, thank you.
Well, great question.
Yes.
Really good question. And Allison, thanks for listening to us way up there in Edmonton, Alberta. We're so glad to be a part of your life, and thank you for being a part of ours as well on a daily basis. That is just such an encouragement to us.
It is.
But as far as David, you just got to love David. I mean, he just wore his emotions on his sleeves. He didn't try to hide anything. He just let God know what was always going on inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can take some great comfort with that. And certainly David had enemies as a king of Israel. He had enemies.
Yes.
And he was a target from a lot of people.
Yes.
And he was always having to figure out ways to protect and to the nation of Israel and to keep the people safe. So in that responsibility, he expressed his heart to God quite often. And he was just real, and he was raw, and he expressed his anger and his frustration and his hatred and all of those things. But in all of that, he always entrusted himself to the mercy of God.
Yes.
Now, that's why God would look at him and say, "You're a man after my heart." And that was what was significant as far as the life of David is concerned. So we can learn something in our own lives personally. We all have enemies. We all have people that we engage with that do stuff to us that we just don't like, whatever it might be. And in our personal interaction with God, we express that. We have the freedom, the liberty to express all of those things, but we do so knowing that God may have a greater purpose, that God's heart needs to prevail in all of these situations. And we see what that heart is as Jesus explained that we're to love our enemies. Now, I think there is a particular application that Jesus had in mind when he said to his Jewish followers, his Jewish disciples, that you need to love your enemies. Now, who were their enemies at that time? Well, it was the entire Gentile world in the Roman Empire. That was their enemy. And so they wanted, the Jewish people wanted, God to send a Messiah that would just smack the Romans down to nothing.
Yes.
Just to come in
crush
and
them,
just
Lord.
Crush them.
Yeah.
Just crush them. and then lift up Israel to become the preeminent nation on the face of the earth.
So we can rule the world instead of them.
Right. And they looked at that from promises.
Yes.
It wasn't unjustified as far as what their Old Testament scriptures had told them. But they missed just the scriptures that really talked about the Messiah and what his character was going to be like and what his mission was going to be about. And what his mission was all about was bringing the blessing of Abraham to all peoples, to Jews and to Gentiles.
Yes.
So Paul explained that mystery to us, that in Christ we're going to be one new man. So God was going to take people from Israel and people from the Gentile world. He was going to bring that grace of God. They were going to respond by faith. They were going to be saved, and then they were going to be added together as a body of believers. They were going to be one new man. That wall of hostility had come down, peace between Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
So what was Jesus kind of hinting at? That there's going to be a day that this person that you despise, that you will not go into their house because they're Gentile, that you don't want anything to do with it, there's going to be a day when you're going to look in his face and he's going to look at yours and you're going to call each other brother in Christ.
Yes.
So there's, I think, a powerful finger pointing forward to what this gospel was going to bring about. And only in the gospel of Jesus Christ can once bitter enemies become brothers in Christ and share the very life in a way that love flows back and forth. There was no love flowing back and forth between Jew and Gentile. There was no love flowing back and forth between Jew and Samaritan until the gospel message hit. Once it hit, love started to pour out, going back and forth between Jew, Gentile, Jew, Samaritan. Why? Because they were now sharing the very life of Christ Jesus.
Yes. Notice the healthy aspect of this. When you are able or willing, it's not that we're never able, but we're never willing to be truthful with God about the people who have angered you or the situations that aren't fair. When you can do that, then the Holy Spirit working inside of you can bring the peace of God to you in that situation. If you just hold it inside and let it fester, that's when terrible things begin to happen. And that's the beauty of what David was doing, and it's also the beauty of what Jesus did for us in order to break down that wall of hostility so that we could bring those feelings to the surface in Christ, have them healed, and deal with each other as he would.
Yes, indeed. We had a great question from one of our Facebook listeners who's asking about confession of sin, specifically 1 John 1:9. And this is a question that we really deal with at length in our course, It Is Finished, on Basic Gospel University. But Jesus, there's a great verse, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus shed his blood. And so when we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. So when we sin as believers, we don't need more forgiveness. That sin has already been dealt with by Jesus Christ. It's already been forgiven. So we simply confess and say, hey, I blew it, and I see the consequences of this. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that you've already forgiven that you've already condemned that sin when you became sin in your body and died for that on the cross. I want to thank you for that forgiveness that I have. And now I want to entrust this situation to you and allow the Spirit of God to work in and through me to bring about reconciliation with the person that I may have hurt, to bring about restitution, whatever it might be. But you're putting yourself into God's hands and saying, work through me in this situation to reconcile it and make this relationship stronger than what it was before.
Yeah, we confess because we are forgiven, not in order to be forgiven.
That's exactly right. And that is a key point that we all need to learn, and it just makes our relationship with God, with Jesus, that much more free
yes.
and exciting because we don't have to fear his punishment.
No.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being with us on today's broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. We hope you will join us. Until then, for Richard and the entire team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Dallas, Texas.